Thank you very much for coming. Today's daf is Sanhedrin, daf Gimel. But we were towards the end of Sanhedrin, Beis Amud Beis. So again, just to review, the Mishnah teaches us the laws of different types of courts. There's a court of 3 judges, there's a court of 23 judges, a court of 71 judges. And the Mishnah lists many, many areas of halacha where what's needed is 3 judges. It started off by saying dinei mamonos, monetary laws, monetary discussions. Bishlosha, 3 judges. Gzelos v'chavalos, a dispute about somebody, an accusation that somebody grabbed something. Gzela, chavala, that Yaakov beat up Shimon. There are all sorts of payments, the payment of damage, the payment of humiliation, the payment of doctor bills, the payment of lost wages, the payment of pain. You know, all these things would have to be decided by a court of 3. An ox that gores, an innocent ox that gores, which is only half damage, a person who stole as a burglar. Then he sold what he stole, or he slaughtered what he stole. So, payments of double, payments of 4, payments of 5. All of these are discussions for 3 judges. And then eventually the Mishnah gets into issues that need 23 judges, like capital issues, an animal that has marital relations with a woman, or a man who has marital relations with an animal. And then eventually it got into the issues that need 71 judges. You know, a question of about a Kohen Gadol, a question of a tribe. So the Gemara began with the problem. The Mishnah says monetary law need 3 judges. Then it says thefts and damages of a person damaging another need 3 judges. Once you say monetary laws need 3 judges, so doesn't that include thefts and damages? So the Gemara starts with the answer of Rav Avoh. Rav Avoh said, the Mishnah is refining and defining. It started off by saying monetary law needs 3 judges. Then it's saying, and you know what monetary law is? Monetary law is theft. Monetary law is a person damaging another person. To teach you that a question of whether or not a loan was ever made, a question of whether or not did somebody admit that he owed a loan, that's not included. So the Gemara says, now, we'll start at this point, about a third of the way up on Beis Amud Beis. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 lines before the end. Again, we just said that Rav Acha, Rabbi Avoh explained Mahein Katani. The Mishnah is explaining what it is. What is monetary law? Monetary law is thefts and damages. Monetary law is not a question of did somebody admit to a loan or did a loan ever really get made. So Mar says, well, Lamai, what do you mean that those questions of loans are not included? If you're going to say that a question of a loan, an argument whether or not there was a loan, doesn't have to be decided by 3. It can be decided, let's say, by less than 3, by 2 judges or 1 judge. But the same Rav Avoh said, if 2 judge a question of monetary law, the divrei hakol, everybody agrees, that judgment is not a judgment. So you see that everybody agrees you need 3. So then when it says dinei mamonos bishlosha, and you're saying mahein dinei mamonos, what are the dinei mamonos? Dinei mamonos is theft. Dinei mamonos is questions of damage. What do you mean? But even hodos valvos, even a question of admitting or a question of a loan also requires 3. Ella, so what does it mean that dinei mamonos is only questions of theft? Dinei mamonos is not a question of a loan. Delo ba'inan mumchin. It teaches us that a question of whether or not there was a loan does not require three experts. It may require three judges, but not expert judges. They don't have to be people who have smicha. We know that we read in Parshas Pinchas, last Parsha, that when Moshe Rabbeinu asked God to appoint a successor, God tells Moshe, call Yehoshua, put your hands on Yehoshua, give some of your spirit upon Yehoshua, ordain him, and he now will be your successor. So Moshe did it to Yehoshua. He said, Yehoshua knows so much and understands so well and is such a great, courageous Torah leader that he is given the authority to be part of the same group that I was in. He can interpret psukim. He can issue rulings on life and death. He can issue rulings on matters of a fine. So those are the mumchim, the experts, the people who have smicha, people who are part of the chain that goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So on a question of theft, on a question of damages, you'd need three judges who are mumchim, three judges who are experts, three judges who have smicha. A question of lashes, you'd need three judges who are mumchim, who have smicha. A question of adding to a month to the calendar, you'd need judges who are mumchim. But a question of whether or not there was a loan does require three people, but they don't need to be experts. They don't need to be people with smicha. Even regular hedyotos, regular Jews, could determine that question. And that's what Rabbi Vo is trying to say. The Mishnah says, Dine Mamanos are three. And then it goes on and says, Zelos v'chavalos are three. It's saying the definition of Dine Mamanos that needs three experts is a question of theft and damage. But a question about a loan, that doesn't require three experts. Three simple people could resolve those questions, to judge those questions. So the Gemara asks Tanur Bavo, my kasavar, how does he interpret the verses in Parshat Mishpatim? In Parshat Mishpatim, we have multiple paragraphs. Some of them deal with the issues of loans. I claim I gave you a loan. You claim I didn't give you as much as I said I gave you. And then there are paragraphs that deal with deposits, with a shomer chinam, a watchman who's not getting paid, a shomer sachar, a watchman who is getting paid, a socher, someone who rents, a shoel, someone who borrows. These are all in Parshas Mishpatim. So there are verses in regards to watchmen that don't seem to apply to a watchman. They seem really to be a better fit to a question of a loan. For example, there is a verse that says, in regards to a watchman, that if he says this, then they go to court and they swear, which sounds like the only time the watchman would have to swear is if he admits to part of the claim against him. That if the depositor said, I gave you 100 to watch, and he says, no, you gave me 20 to watch, then he would have to swear. That's the implication, but that's just not true. That's not the halacha. The halacha is that a watchman swears even when he denies the whole thing. So what did the verse mean when it implied there had to be a partial admission? Oh, it's not even referring to watchmen. It's really referring to a question of a loan, whether there was a loan of 100 or a loan of 20. Question of a loan, that's where we say if there's a partial admission, there has to be an oath. But even though the verse wasn't written about loans, but we say Iruv Parshios. Iruv Parshios means that all these sections are mixed in together. So you have verses in the section about watchmen that are teaching you lessons about loans and borrowers. And there are verses in the, perhaps even verses in the sections about loans that teach you things about watchmen. So ask the Gemara, what does Rebbe Vo think? If Rebbe Vo, my kasavar, I kasavar Iruv Parshios Kasuv Kan, if he thinks that in Parshios Mishpatim, the different paragraphs are mixed up, in other words, that within a paragraph about watchmen, you'll have a verse about a lender and a borrower, so therefore the verses of watchmen teach you about lending and borrowing, then Liboy Nami Mumchin, then you should require, even in a dispute about a borrowing, to have three experts. Because in these verses about watchmen, the word Elohim, meaning an expert, is mentioned three times. So that would tell you need to have three experts. The same way in regards to a watchman issue, you need three experts. In regards to a loan issue, you need three experts, because all these sections are mixed in with each other. But if you're going to say that in Parshas Mishpatim, the section about lending has nothing to do with the section about a watchman, and the verses are not mixed up with each other, so then Shlosha Lamali, then if you just look at lending by itself, you don't even have the word Elohim three times in regards to lending. So then you would need, there's no obligation of three judges. Why does he say three judges? If he doesn't require three experts, because it doesn't have Elohim three times in regards to a loan, it doesn't even have the word Elohim three, doesn't have the word judge three times either. There's no need for three judges. You could get away with one judge or two judges. So I'm going to say like this. No. L'olam kasavar yirav parshas kasav kan. Really, Rabbi Avo is of the opinion that in Parshas Mishpatim, the section about watchmen is mixed in with ideas about lending, and therefore what's written about watchmen also applies to lending. So therefore, biblically, the verses that say the issues between a depositor and his watchman, you go to the Elohim, you go to the judge, and it says that three times. That tells you that even in regards to a loan, you have to go to a judge, and you have to go to three judges, because the word Elohim three times applies to loans too. So really, biblically, the word Elohim three times would also tell you need to have mumchim in regards to a loan. You need to have experts in regards to a loan. That's what it says now. Really, from the basic letter of the law, from the biblical law, a question about a loan should have to be resolved by three experts. So, the reason why Rav Avo read the Mishnah is teaching us that only questions of theft need three experts, but questions of a loan don't require three experts. It's a takana midrabanan. It's a rabbinic enactment. Mishum Rabbi Chanina. It's based on Rabbi Chanina's concerns. Dam Rabbi Chanina, we find Rabbi Chanina said this in regards to another law, which was, do you need to cross-examine witnesses? When witnesses are coming to testify, do you have to cross-examine them? Ask them, okay, when did it happen? Where were you when it happened? Each one separately, and then try to match up the testimony. So, Dam Reb Chanina says, Dvar Torah from the biblical law, Echad Dinei Mamonos, both in questions of monetary law, the Echad Dinei Nefashos, and disputes about the question of life and death, Vidrisha V'Chakira, we need to cross-examine the witnesses. Shanema, now starting today's daf, because the verse says, Mishpat Echad Yelachem, you shall have one justice, namely one law for both monetary law and life and death law. But yet, umatam amru dinei mamonos lo b'inan drisha v'chakira. What's the reason why our sages have said that a question of monetary law, an issue of monetary law, we don't need to cross-examine the witnesses when it's a question of a loan? Galatial tinol delas bifnei lovin. Because we're worried of the markets closing. We're worried of the gates closing in front of the borrowers. Remember, who needs to borrow? Poor people. So we want to help the poor people. So we're worried that a lender might say, you know what, I don't want to give a loan. Because if I give a loan, this borrower, when I come to collect, is going to claim it never happened. I'm going to have to bring in the witnesses. The witnesses are going to be divided. They're going to be cross-examined. Each one's going to be asked, when did it happen? Where were you? And so, you know, they're going to forget a little bit. They're going to mess up their testimony. It's going to be thrown out. I'm not going to get my money back. So I'm not going to go lend it all. So even though biblically there should be cross-examination of witnesses and all questions and all judicial proceedings, but because we want to make sure that lenders are still lending, we make it easier to a degree to the lender to collect than it should be. And we say, you know what, in a question of a loan, we're not going to have cross-examination of the witnesses. So the same way we want to make it easier for a lender to collect in order to keep encouraging him to lend, that's why midrabanan, they threw out the law of judges being experts. Really, when there's a question about whether a loan happened, did he admit, did he not admit, did he give a loan, did he not give a loan, we should really be going in front of three expert judges. Because the Torah speaks about three expert judges in regards to watchmen, but they're all the sections are mixed in together. So whatever is said about watchmen also applies to loans. So really, you should have three expert judges. But if you're going to require three expert judges, lenders are not going to want to lend. They're going to say, you know what, that's going to be hard for me to find the three expert judges to collect. So you know what, we make it easier for lenders to collect. We want to encourage lending. We say that the disputes don't need three expert judges. They can be resolved by three simple individuals, three hedyotos. So that's the way to read the Mishnah Kodesh Bavoh. Again, the Mishnah says monetary law is three. Then the Mishnah says theft and damages is three. So one second, theft and damages is monetary law. No, but theft and damages is it's defining monetary law. Monetary law is three. What? Which monetary law? Thefts and damages is the monetary law that's three experts. But monetary law of loans, monetary law, did somebody admit, doesn't require three experts. Midoraisa would have required three experts. But rabbinically, it can get done with three simple individuals in order to encourage people to keep lending.
Did the cross single judge there, Rabbi, in a Jewish court?
We're going to get to that. We'll see. There's some, but right now we're talking about three, but three who don't have to be experts.
So rabbinical law could lower.
Yeah,
yes, of course, because we have a rule, as we learned in Masechet Yevamos, Hefker Bezdin Hefker. The rights of the court are to suspend monetary ownership. Yeah. So for the sake of encouraging markets, the court can take extraordinary measures. And yet, can take the Sanhedrin, the sages can, and they take away the need to have experts. They say, no, you don't need to have experts. Even three simple individuals can resolve and can adjudicate a question of a loan.
Rabbi, the fact that the rabbis are taking the words and mixing them around to be able to come with a conclusion, why is that not a midra rabbanan unto itself? Why is that a midra raisa? If it's not straightforward.
Well, interpreting a pasuk is always d'oraisa.
But they're mixing the concepts around.
They're explaining that when the pasuk was written in regards to watchmen, it really applies also to a loan. They're explaining the Torah. But that's biblical to explain the Torah. So now the Gemara asks in Rav Avoh's explanations, Ela me'ata. Well, if that's the way you're reading the Mishnah, that a dispute about a loan is to be resolved by three simple people. So then if three simple people got involved in a dispute on a loan, ta'u, and they made the wrong ruling, we know that if they make the wrong ruling, they need to pay the damages. Why should they pay? Lo yishalmu. They were allowed to do it by the sages, so they shouldn't be paying. So the Gemara says, no, if you're going to tell them that they don't need to pay, and all the more so will lenders not want to lend, because they're going to say, you know what, if we end up in court and the court issues the wrong ruling and I don't get to collect what I'm supposed to collect, I don't have any redress, because I can't ever make the simple court individuals liable to pay me for having messed me up by giving the wrong ruling. So therefore, really, simple individuals are fully entitled to issue rulings in regards to questions of loans and admitting, but they will have to pay if they make the wrong ruling, because that's also part of the purpose of keeping the loan markets open. So now the Gemara asks, one second, Ihachi, if this is the case, looking at our Mishnah, the Mishnah doesn't read very well. Remember, let's read the words of the Mishnah again. Dine mamonos b'shlosha. Gzelos v'chavalos, shlosha. So how do we read it? Monetary law is three. Thefts and damages are three. So Yachi, if that's the case, tarte katani, really the right way to read the Mishnah is that it's telling you two different branches, two different options. Dine mamonos b'shlosha, monetary law is three, meaning a question about a loan is three hedyotos, three simple people. Then gzeilos v'chavalos b'shlosha, theft, an argument about a theft or an argument about a damage, is with three mumchim, three expert people. So it's two different tracks. It's not so much the gzeilos v'chavalos is defining what is dine mamonos. Dine mamonos is one type of thing. Gzeilus v'chavalos is a different type of thing. Dine mamonos, namely a question about a loan, is three simple judges. A question about a theft is three expert judges. Vod, and furthermore, if you're going to say the way you've been saying, that a question that when it says dine mamonos three, it's then defining it, it's refining it. What does it mean, dine mamonos three? Only gzeilus v'chavalos, three experts. So shlosha shlosha lamali. Why would it have to say the word three twice? It should have just said dine mamonos, which is gzeilos v'chavalos, monetary law of theft and damages, require three experts. So Ella Amar Rava. So Rava said again, according to this opinion of Rabba Avohu, you're right. Tarte katani. Really, the Mishnah is two different options, and it's Mishum Rabbi Chanina, based on the idea of Rabbi Chanina. In other words, really, the Mishnah is telling you all sorts of laws where you need three experts. So you need three experts to give lashes. You need three experts to do to add a month to the year. You don't have individuals can't add a month to the year. The whole Mishnah is laws of experts. So the Mishnah started off saying that a question of a loan also requires three experts. But then it turned around and said, no, but it doesn't, because rabbinically we want to encourage lending. So we reduced the standards. We said that a loan only requires three individuals. So that's what it begins by saying. Monetary law, namely loans, get away with three individuals. But a question of theft, and you're back on the basic biblical law, and theft is not an issue of helping the markets by enabling theft to be resolved by simple individuals. No, a question of theft is not resolved by simple individuals. It can only be resolved by three experts. Okay. That's one explanation of the Mishnah. In conclusion, the Mishnah is talking about two different options, right? Or two different worlds. There's the world of expert judges. There's the world of simple people judging. A question of a loan, we allow simple people to judge because we want to make sure that the loans happen. We don't want to discourage the lenders. A question of theft and other issues, we need to have three experts. However, Rav Acha, Breda, Rav Ika, Amar, Rav Acha, the son of Rav Ika. This now brings up Baruch's point. He said the following. Midoraisa chad nami kasher. In a question of a loan, did somebody give a loan? Did somebody admit to a loan? Even a single judge could resolve it. Biblically, even a single judge. So what does that mean? He holds that there isn't Eruv Parshios. He holds that what's written about watchmen only applies to watchmen. Doesn't apply to lending. So now you talk about lending. The Torah in regards to lending didn't say the word Elohim three times. So in regards to lending, we don't need three. We don't need three. Even one is enough in a question of lending. What's the source that only one is enough? Shenamar, because the Torah says, B'tzedek tishpot amitecha. With justice, judge your friend. It doesn't say your friends. It doesn't say atem. B'tzedek, tishpot, not tishpetu, tishpetu would be the plural, it says tishpot, with justice, you shall judge. One person can judge the friends. One person can judge a question of loans. So one second. So, why does our Mishnah say dine mamonos b'shlosha? Which is, as we've been saying, says that monetary issues, namely loans, have to have three. What do you mean three? You can have one. It's a different rabbinic enactment. Not that the rabbis lowered the standards, the rabbis enacted an increase in the standards. The biblical standard, according to the view of Rav Acha, the son of Rav Ika, is that a question of a loan gets resolved by a single judge who's not an expert, a single judge. So they're upset. The rabbis come out, they say, hey, a single judge can resolve it. He doesn't have to be an expert. So some guy sitting in the street corner, some drunk, is going to be a loiterer, is going to start resolving these questions. You're going to have all sorts of crazy resolutions. We can't do that, so you have to have three. So, one second. When you have three, you also have street loiterers. Just because you have three doesn't mean you're going to have somebody who knows something. Well, this is not, the enactment was to have three, because once you have three, you probably have within three one who learned something somewhere. So you're not going to have like total ignoramuses making decisions on loans. So that's the second option. First option is that biblically a loan should require three experts, and the rabbis dialed it down to encourage lenders, and they said even individuals can judge. Or the opposite, biblically a loan doesn't even require three individuals. Biblically the loan only requires one individual, one non-expert. But the rabbis raised it to have three non-experts in regards to a loan. So if we have three non-experts, one of them will be somewhat knowledgeable. If we'd have one non-expert, you could have situations of people who are drunks, who know nothing, resolving issues. Because we don't have the word Elohim. The word Elohim means someone who has smicha, but here we don't have the word Elohim, because Elohim was written only in regards to watchmen, but that's not in regards to loans. So now the Gemara asks, Elameata, if this is the case, the same question. If these three non-experts make a mistake in regards to a loan ruling, ta'u, lo yishalmu, they shouldn't have to pay because you're letting them do it. And more than that, the Torah lets them do it. The Torah, you don't have a law of Eruv, there's no Eruv Parshios. The Torah says non-experts can issue rulings in questions of loans. So the Gemara says, no, but if they're not going to have to pay, if they make a mistake, kol shekein d'nefishi yoshvei kratos, then certainly more of the ignorant street loiterers are going to jump in because they figure, hey, there's no possibility of loss to me. So therefore, no, we want to discourage the completely ignorant from being involved. So number one, we do that by saying you have to have three, so that amongst the three, you'll probably have one who knows something. In addition, we say if you guys make a mistake, you're going to be liable. So the people who are completely ignorant will now hopefully not get involved. So listen, we don't know anything. We might make mistakes. We're going to be liable. So it's all to encourage the ignorant to stay away. So Gemara now asks, bottom line is both opinions say that a question of a loan is judged by three simple individuals, either because biblically it should be three experts, but they lowered it to three simple individuals to help the lenders, or that biblically it could be one simple individual, but they raise it to three simple individuals to try to prevent the completely ignorant from issuing rulings. So, Ma'ika Bein Rav or Avacha Bein Rav Ika. What's the difference between the two opinions? Everybody agrees that you can have three non-experts judging it. Ika Bein Nayo, the difference is, Damar Shmuel's law. Shmuel says, Shnaim Shadanu, if two judges judge a monetary law of a loan, Dineim Din, the law is a good law. Elishnikru Bezdin Chatzif, but they are called a brazen court. The Rava, according to Rava, Leslie the Shmuel. He doesn't agree to Shmuel because biblically you need three. It's just that the rabbis lowered the standard of those three. They don't have to be experts, but biblically you need three. So two can't judge. But Rav Acha Bredi Rav Ika, that biblically all you needed is one non-expert. So then Ikalei L'Shmuel, Islei D'Shmuel. Then he agrees with Shmuel that if you have two who judge, biblically it works. And it may be brazen because they're not following the rabbinic laws, but they are effective. Okay, next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that Nezek, a question about damages. Chatzi Nezek, an ox that was a simple ox, hadn't gored before, so it pays half damages, a question about half damages. These are discussed by courts of three. And as we've learned, that at this point already, it certainly means expert courts, judges who are mumchim. Nezek, 1 second, damages. Hainu chavalos, isn't that included in a person who damages another person? Answers the Gemara, no, Mishum de Kabayla Misni Chatzi Nezek, since we want to talk about a payment of half damage, Tananami Nezek Shalom. It also mentions when an ox has a payment of full damage. 1 second, Chatzi Nezek, also Ainu Chavala, should be included in the term damages. So the Gemara answers, no, Tana Mimona, we mention damages, that's a person who hits another person, that's a payment that's understandable, that's a mamon, that's a monetary payment, the katani knasa. But now it's also adding that sometimes you pay things that are fines, namely half damage, and that has to be done in front of a court of three. So ani chalaman dharma palganiska knasa, that's fine if you think that when an ox scores and it pays half damages, that's a fine. Elaman dharma palganiska mamona, but according to the opinion of Baba Kama, that when an ox scores, it is actually a monetary payment, it's something intuitive that it should be paying. So then what are you going to say? It's already included in Chavalos. Since we want to mention payments of questions of payments of double, questions of payment four or five times, because those are payments that are way beyond the principal. The principal's just it, and he paid double it, four times it, five times it. So therefore, Tananami Chatzi Nezek. So it also wants to mention a half payment, because half is also not the principal. So Mamon Shedem Ishtana Beroshu, that's money that's not the principal. So I need the Kabbalah Misni Chatzi Nezek. So once we want to mention half damage, when an ox gores for the first time, it only pays half damage. It's not a principal payment, it's less than the principal. So once we're mentioning the ox goring, so Tananami Nezek, it also mentions a dispute about a habituated ox that gores, a muad that gores, where you pay the full amount. Okay, again, going back to the Mishnah. The first Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin lists many, many cases of law, I think 20-something cases, that require three judges. Then it goes on to list a whole bunch of cases which require 23 judges, and a whole series of issues that require 71 judges. So now, Shlosha Minalan, what's the source of three judges? We've been referencing this till now, but now at least it gets explained. What's the source of three judges? And that the three judges are experts. The Tanu Rabbanan, the source is, as we learned in a Braisa. The Braisa says that the Psukim in Parshas Mishpatim, that talk about all the different cases of a watchman. A watchman who's not paid, and then the guy who gave him the thing to watch says, hey, where's my thing? So he has to swear I wasn't negligent. A watchman who is being paid, he has to swear it wasn't stolen from me. A watchman who's a borrower, he has to swear that it didn't die out of control, that it was a mesa machmas malacha, died because of the work it was supposed to do. All the issues of watchmen, disputes between the watchmen, the Torah says there. Right, if they can't find the thief, the nikrav balabayis elu Elohim, im lo shalach yado b'meleches re'ehu, he has to swear, I didn't steal it myself. That's, now the word Elohim is an expert judge, arekan echad. Or you have a discussion where it says, al kol val pesha, al shor, al chamor, al sal, salma, al kol avedosh, al yomar ki yuzeh, Adu Elohim Yavod Var Shnehem, Asher Yashirin Elohim Yishalim Shnaim L'Re'ehu. So again, their matter should come Adu Elohim Yavod Var Shnehem. Arekan Shnaim, that's the second time where it mentions Elohim. Asher Yashirin Elohim, in that verse it also says Asher Yashirin Elohim. Arekan Shlosha, Divi Rabbi Yoshia. So Rabbi Yoshia says, how do we know ever that we need three judges? The Torah, in regards to issues of watchmen and the disputes between a depositor and a watchman, says, the Torah says the word Elohim three times. Elohim is an expert judge. So since it says in three different cases, you'll go to the judge, you'll go to the judge, you'll go to the judge, that means that you have to have a total of three expert judges. That's what Rabbi Yoshua says. However, Rabbi Yonasan says, Rishon Tchila Nehmar, the first time it said the word Elohim, that's to tell you that you go to an expert judge. It's not to list the first of the three judges. Ein Dorshin Tchilos, we can't interpret the first time as part of the list, as part of the number. So the way to get to three is the following. The verse says, Ad Elohim Yavo Dvar Shnehem, till the judge, the matter of the two of them should come. Harei Kan Echad, so that would imply you can go to a single judge. But then the verse says, Asher Yarshiun Elohim. Now, we know that in Hebrew there is Lashon Rabim and Lashon Yachid. Individual tense and plural tense. The individual tense would be Yarshia. The plural would be Yarshiun. The verse says that Asher Yarshiun Elohim, that the Elohim will convict, but in the plural tense. So that's another two. Mosif and Aleah and I'm sorry, no, we haven't gotten to that yet. We'll get to that later. No, that's later. I skipped ahead. No. Number one, according to Rabbi Yonasan, the verse says, Ad Elohim Yavo Dvar Shnehem, that implies one expert. Then it says, Asher Yarshiun Elohim, Harei Kan Shnayim. Then it says that those that the expert will convict, that's a second. But says Rabbi Yonasan, Ein Bezdin Shakel. You can't have a court of only two. You can't have a court at an even number. Because if you have a court at an even number, they might deadlock one against one. Every court has to always be able to get to a decision. So therefore, Mosif and Alein Odechad, you have to have a third. Harekan shlosha, so in total three. So again, I'm sorry I confused you. Just to review, the question is, how do we know that you need three judges ever? So a dispute. According to Rabbi Yoshia, it's the fact that the word Elohim is mentioned three times in regards to issues of disputes and Eruv Parshios. It applies to all the different issues. According to Rabbi Yonasan, no, the first time you can't interpret. You just need to know the concept that you go to a judge. It says Elohim twice in regards to the list. So it means you'd have to have two, but you can't have just two. So you have to end up with three. So now what's the argument between Rabbi Yonasan and Rav Yoshia? Neima, let's suggest Bedarshan Tchilos Kamiflgi. They're arguing whether we can interpret or we expound upon the first time something is mentioned. Or maybe we say, no, the first time can't be interpreted. It can't be added to the list. Mar Sava, the first opinion of Yoshia, holds Darshan Tchilos. The first thing can also be interpreted. So therefore, since it says Elohim in total three times, you have three judges. Umar Savar, whereas the opinion of Rabbi Yonasan is Ein Darshan Tchilos. We don't interpret the first time. And therefore, we're in total only have from the verse two, but you can't have an even amount of two. So it means you have to have a total of three. So Gemara says, well, maybe not. Maybe the Kuli Alma, maybe everybody agrees, Ein Darshan Tchilos. We never should interpret the first time something is mentioned because we need it to teach us the concept. But Amalacha Rabbi Yoshia, but here Rabbi Yoshia says, I interpret the first Elohim because to tell me it's one of the three judges. Because Im Kain, if I wouldn't interpret it, name Rakover Nikov Balabayas Ala Shofet. The Torah could have just said, and the person should go to the judge. My Elho Elohim. Why did it use the word Elohim, which is going to use again another two times? Shema min Elamin Yana must be to teach me the list of three Elohim. Three expert judges.
What about the question of mumcha and simple?
It would have to be mumcha.
Well, the shofet is not mumcha.
Exactly. So if the Torah just wanted to tell me the concept of going to a judge, it could have said shofet. Shofet is also mumcha. That's what the Minchas Chinuch says, that the word shofet always implies an expert.
Okay. So that gives you three experts.
It would have given you, well, it wouldn't, we would have just said
shofet.
Well, shofet would have just meant you go to a judge. Then when it says Elohim twice, it would be two experts. But why did it choose to say Elohim three times? Why use the word Elohim the first time instead of Shofet? The fact that it chose Elohim versus Shofet is to say that this word Elohim is added to the other two Elohims to give you a total of three. However, Rabbi Yonasan will tell you, Lishna Dalma Nakat. Rabbi Yonasan is of the opinion in general that Dibra Torah Kalashal Bnei Adam, the Torah's language is just sometimes imprecise. It's the way people are. People are imprecise. The Torah just said, Ad Elohim. It's just the normal way of people. Kedami Inchi, like people would say, Man Dis Ledina. If you have a court issue, Likrav Lagabe Dayan, go to a judge.
No higher, there is no such a thing as a higher court. You don't like the decision.
Depend what is the case.
No. No. In Halacha, there's no option of appeals, really. That if you don't like the decision of these three, you go to an appeals court. There really isn't, not in the system that we have here. The three decide.
Is this like we know arguing today? One, I bring one, you bring one.
We'll get to that in the third paragraph. Now, Rabbi Yoshia asks the Gemara, Rabbi Yoshia didn't like the idea of just two Elohim, so you can't have two, so you end up with a third. He said that the word Elohim is interpreted three times. I don't understand. Leslie Bez denota, does he not agree that we have to have a court able to always come to a decision? But Tanya, but didn't we learn in a Braisa? Rebbe Lezer ben Osher Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer. Rebbe Lezer, the son of Rabbi Yosi Aglili, says, Matam Alomer. Why did the Torah say, Lo Sane Al Riv Lintos? And then again, Achmei Rabim Lahatos. The Torah is saying you, telling you, a Torah Amr, the Torah is teaching you, Asay Lecha Bez denota. Lintos Achmei Rabim Lahatos is to say that you should always have a court that can get to a decision. You have to have an even, an odd number, not an even number of judges. It's the Gemara, Savalak Rabbi Yehuda. No, Rabbi Yoshi holds that pasuk is like Rabbi Yehuda uses that pasuk for. To Amar, I'm sorry, we'll see what he does with the pasuk soon, but no. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda to Amar Shivim, that the highest court itself is 70 judges, so you can have a court that's an even number. The Tanan, as we learned in our Mishnah, Sanhedrin Gedolo, Haisa Shal Shivim V'Echa, the highest court was 71 judges. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shivim. Rabbi Yehuda says 70. One second. And with the Shamli Rabbi Yehuda, Sanhedrin Gedolo, the Chsivi Krab. When did Rabbi Yehuda say that you could have an even-numbered court, the highest court? That could be 70, as we find that Moshe was told to bring 70 judges. Avol b'shar beidina mishamatle, do we ever hear that in another court you could have an even number? V'chitem aloshtan, if you're going to say that according to Rabbi Yehuda there's no difference, if the highest court can be 70, then other courts could be 2, or 6, or 10. But v'atnan, we learned in a Mishnah, smicha sekenim, when elders need to lean on a cow because they made a wrong ruling, the Sanhedrin made a wrong ruling, or arifas egla, when we need to cut off the neck of a cow because we found a dead carcass near a city, bishlosh, it has to be 3 judges, divrei Rabbi Shimon, that's Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Yehuda omer b'chamisha, Rabbi Yehuda says it's got to be 5. I mean, and we said, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda get to 5? Because he'll tell you like this, v'samchu, since it says, and they will lean, shnayim, that's 2. Zikne, the elders, is ochnayim, another 2, that's 4. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, ein bezdin shakel, you can't have a court that is an even number. So mosif and leim odechad arekan chamishi, add another one to get to 5. So 1 second, so you see that everybody agrees you can't have an even number. So the Gemara says like this, well, maybe not everybody agrees. Rabbi Yehuda holds you can have an even number of 70, but you can't have an even number when it's less than 70. And Rabbi Yoshi, Adifim and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yoshi is more extreme than Rabbi Yehuda. Dila Rabbi Yehuda, Sanhedrin Gedolu, the last lay, he holds the highest court can be even. Habishar Beidina, but other courts, Islay, he holds that they can't be even, they have to be odd. And Rabbi Yoshi holds, Bishar Beidina, Nami Lesle, even other courts can be even. And that's why he needed a separate pasuk of Elohim for the third time to get to 3 judges. 1 second, if that's the case, Elahai Lintos my Avidle, if Rabbi Yoshia holds that a court doesn't have to be an odd number of judges, what does he do with the Pasuk? Mukim Labadina Nefashos, so he learns it in regards to issues of life and death. In issues of life and death, the court has to be odd number. But other issues, it could be even. Avobadina Mamanos, low. But in monetary laws, not necessarily. And he got to 3, therefore, from the fact that the word Elohim was 3 times. Elohadit Nam, 1 second, but this we have in the Mishnah. Shnaim Omrim Zakai. 2 judges say, in regards to a question of a loan, 2 judges say he doesn't need to pay. Echad Omer Chayiv. 1 says he has to pay. Zakai, he doesn't have to pay. Shnaim Omrim Chayiv. 2 judges say he does have to pay. Echad Omer Zakai. 1 says he doesn't have to pay. Chayiv, he has to pay. Because we follow the majority. Name of the Lok Rabbi Yoshia. That should be against Rabbi Yoshia. Because according to Rabbi Yoshia, the idea of 3 judges is from the word Elohim appearing 3 times. So then maybe you should have to have a unanimous verdict. All 3 Elohims have to agree. According to Rabbi Yonasan, the idea of 3 judges is not from the word Elohim 3 times. The word Elohim that is interpreted is only 2 times. But you can't have an odd number, you can't have an even number of judges. You have to be able to come to a decision. So you have to have 3. So if you say you have to have 3 in order to come to a decision, then 2 out of the 3 can come to the decision. But if you say you don't need 3 to come to a decision, the reason why you have 3 is because of the word Elohim 3 times, you should require a unanimous decision. Where do you ever see that within 3 you can follow the majority? So the Gemara answers, Afilu Tamer Rabbi Yoshia. No, even according to Rabbi Yoshia, when you have 3 judges, you follow the majority of the 3. And what's his source? Not because every court, by definition, has to be something that can come to a decision. No, Maisila Bakal Vachomer Medina Nefashos. He derives it through logic. Umadina Nefashos Techamiri, in regards to matters of life and death, which is such a severe matter. Amar Rahman Hashem tells us, Zilba Saruba, you follow the majority if you have 13 judges to convict and 10 judges to acquit. We'll kill a person. We don't have to be unanimous to kill. Dine Mamanos, matters of money, local chicane, certainly you follow the majority. You can follow the majority of the judges within the court.